Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Monday afternoon. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna, and it's starting to look like may have some bad weather coming in. I'm not sure, Willie Donick, over on the east side in East Nashville. I don't know what the weather is like over there, Willie, but things are getting a little gray and windy and a little hairy here south of town. Marquise Munson, our host.
We got the sun still out over here on the east side. I don't know for how long, though.
Yeah, just keep it on your side, please.
Just letting you know. Marquise, what's it looking like back at the studio?
I'm seeing sunshine right now, but you're making me a little nervous, man. So just keep it on your side at least for an hour so I can get out of here.
Just a heads up. Just letting you know maybe something is coming your way. Let's bring in Bob Nightingale, who covers Major League Baseball for USA Today. We had a really good conversation with Tony Kemp last week on the show, and now Bob has written about all the positive tests that have come out that may be creating even more sense of urgency for MLB to figure this out. Bob, how you doing?
Yeah, doing well, thanks.
Thanks for joining us. So MLB learning that 40 players and staff members have tested positive for COVID-19 in the past week. How much does this, you know, factor into everything we've been talking about when it involves Major League Baseball trying to return to play over the last couple of months?
Well, certainly it shows that it hurts the union's chance to win a agreement that baseball is not trying to play as many games as possible. Because if they, even if they had reached an agreement, you know, a few weeks ago, spring training sets would have been shut down, and they would have start all over again. So now, you know, not even sure 60 games can be, can happen. You know, we may even try to, if Rob Manfred just mandates the season, it may go down to 54 games starting August 1st. We'll see.
You know, Wednesday, we talked about on the show, and then late Wednesday, we learned that, you know, the two sides, it kind of took a beating last week, both sides. It was not a good look. They had that return to play SportsCenter special on ESPN where all the commissioners went on there, and it looked like, you know, well, if this thing was going to get resolved, they were finally going to have that kind of heart-to-heart on Wednesday. That would have been the day for it to happen. And it looked like things were going well, and then, you know, things just returned back to kind of what it's been. Nothing happened, and here we sit the following Monday, and still nothing on that front. Do you believe last Wednesday was a positive move or another blow for Major League Baseball's return?
Well, it was a blow just because, you know, even Rob Manfred and Tony Clark, who met together, you know, couldn't even agree on, you know, what they agreed upon. Rob Manfred told the owner to say, we got a deal, guys, 60 games. And Tony Clark said, no, we never agree on that. And, besides, the executive board is going to reject it anyway. So Rob Manfred told them, don't come back with 70 games because we're not going to do it. They did come back with 70 games. And now with the recent the outburst in the pandemic, I think it's a situation now is, you know, either take 60 games or he's going to mandate around 54 games so players will get less money.
So you do believe that mandating that – so is that – do you feel like then no matter what that there is going to be some type of a regular season, or is that taking it too far?
No, as long there will be a season, you know, barring – what happens with the virus, but just as far as it's either going to be a season they agree upon or a season that's mandated, you know, by Rob Manfred. So, but yet there will be a season just on that.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale, and Bob, are you at wit's end with this like all of us? I mean, you've been covering this for a long time. You've covered, you know, labor situations before, but I mean, I just found my brain starts hurting, and I was reading it for a long time. Like, I wanted to understand both sides, and I've just gotten to a point where I'm just like, I can't take it anymore. Somebody just put out there that there's a schedule. But how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think enough's enough. People are sick and tired of it, and if they want to get the season started, you know, I mean, right now you have to have spring training starting in July, and maybe not play until August 1st. So, yeah, now is the time to, for Manfred just to mandate it. And I think it will before the day's over. I think you say, you know, enough's enough. You guys had almost 3 months to work it out. You can't. We'll do it.
Bob, we've discussed a lot of different sports and how they're going about this, and you've been reporting on the cases that have come up in the spring training sites. And you know, the thing is that they're hoping, I guess, to play in their home parks and not in a bubble, so to speak, like the NBA is, and like the NHL, I guess, is going to do, and the same thing would be true for MLS. Do you think it's realistic that they can pull this off with some travel, even though they have made, you know, all of the teams much more geographically close that you're going to play in? Logistically, can this work?
Well, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, you know, they'll be all together in their own home cities for 3 weeks. You know, we saw the outburst over the weekend. We had 40 positive cases in baseball last week between players and staff members. So we'll certainly find out whether it can work or not. They don't want to do a bubble. You know, they don't think that could work. You know, before it was supposed to be a bubble in Arizona, then Arizona, Florida, and Texas, and you know, we see what's going on in those three states. So that would never, you know, happen. So, yeah, I think just take their chances. At least, you know, at least they're going to try to play and see how many games they get in. You know, they hope you get in 60 games, but maybe less.
So is it your gut feeling that 60 will be the number and it won't go above that? I think we were all hoping that, you know, you go 60, we go 70, and we're going to say 65 or 66. Do you think that's over, or do you think 60 is the number?
Yeah, no, I think that's over. Just you know, the owners, I think they struggled to even get to 60 games. So, yeah, that part's over. So I think it's either they reach an agreement today on 60 games or Manfred mandates 54.
Oof.
Well, time is ticking, and that's all we keep
just
saying.
Take
that.
The 60 and be done with it. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, I think we'll have an answer. I believe by the end of the day today. I don't think this goes until tomorrow. I think today's the day.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Bob, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this as always, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Sounds great. Take care.
All right. That is Bob Nightingale, covers MLB for USA Today, and he believes that something could happen today. And that makes sense because how much longer can we really do this, right? I mean, how much longer can we keep?
I get the feeling that Bob was fatigued. You know, don't you think these guys? I mean, I've listened to so many interviews with Jason Stark or Ken Rosenthal or Buster Olney, or I mean, the list goes on. Harold Reynolds, all of these things, and they're just your brain gets to a point where you can't take anymore. Right? And if, man, please, wouldn't that be something if there is an announcement tonight, like Bob said? Like, this is it?
Yeah.
We've trained ourselves not to believe that, though, have we? Haven't we?
Yeah. it's to jump out there right now and say anything on the MLB front and feel good about, you know, it's just, it's like there's a lot of people like me probably just saying, you know, when I see an announcement, that's when I'll feel. My next feeling for what they're going to happen or what's going to happen or what they're going to do is when they make an announcement. Either it's not going to happen or this is what it's going to be, but I don't know.
I'm to the point where I have to see players on the field with jerseys on, with a bat in their hand, for me to believe that this season's going to start at this point.
Look, the bottom line is, and the damage has been done with the sport, there's going to be a ripple effect no matter what. There are people that will rejoice, glad that there's going to be some type of season if that indeed happens. And there's going to be a whole lot of people that are just go, whatever, okay, go have fun. I'm not really going to pay attention. I mean, damage has already been done. And that's what's unfortunate about this, the two sides. Damage has already been done. There's going to be a ripple effect from all of this nonsense, and there's going to be people that will stay away for a while, for a certain period of time. I don't know if it's forever. Forever seems a little strong, but there's going to be people that are going to stay away, a lot of people that are just going to be saying, like, I'm just not that interested. You guys left such a sour taste in my mouth with what's going on and how this was handled. You know, I got other things, especially if everything comes back. And, you know, we've talked about that. There could be that that window where we've got just a ton of things to keep us occupied in the sports world. Tons. And if that's the case, I think there's a lot of people who are like, you know what, I'll occupy my time somewhere else. I got asked the question several times this weekend, what would, if baseball didn't play this season, what sport would benefit the most? And, you know, I just said I couldn't really answer it. I said, well, I don't think anybody, everybody benefits because people will find other options. I don't know if there's somebody who benefits the most, because a lot of people or several people have brought up MLS, and I said, well, I don't know. It's interesting, but when you think about it, like, baseball's demo is older.
Tyler Kepner on Thursday, Darren, from the New York Times, and he said that the average age of the baseball
Don't tell me. It's got to be 55. What did he
say? You're almost dead on. I think it's 57.
50, so it's even older than that. Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, you're right in the ballpark. But this is that's a glaring thing. And we're you know, we had our discussion earlier today about the whole effect of travel baseball and how that is great for developing the top whatever percent you want to put on it, 10 or 20% of the players, but it doesn't keep people playing longer. More people stop playing the game and start doing other things at an earlier age. That's not conducive to producing younger fans. You know, the number of players playing in the inner cities, in the minorities, you know, the African-Americans, that needs to be addressed in a huge way. It hasn't been done very well. They've been aware of it for 20 years, but they haven't done really anything significant to get the numbers better. They need more people playing. You got to have more people connected to the game at a younger age if they're going to turn into baseball fans. Otherwise, that average age is only going to go higher.
Yeah, that's why I said, I just said I know it's an older group, and I would have said 55 is my number. And soccer is just the opposite. Soccer is a much, much younger demo. And so if baseball is skewing older, and that's their demo, their target, or not their target, but the bulk of their demo, their fan base, I don't know how you could think that MLS will benefit from an aging fan base going over to soccer when they're just the opposite. They're probably average age is 25 would be my guess. You know, so I don't know
it's
what
younger.
The answer
there's,
is.
There's no doubt. But so I would say soccer just because it's going to, I think again, it might just because of the season it's played, I think it might, if people aren't watching baseball next summer because of this, then what else are they going to watch in theory other than soccer?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was looking at, you know, more or less that everything, the return to play, everything else was going on. You know, the NBA would benefit. Hockey would benefit. I mean, I just think everybody would. But golf is going to be. By the way, golf just, you know, they've been back now. There was a horse race this weekend. Belmont, you know, I mean, things coming back. UFC continues to pump out products. We had it on. There's a prime example right there. We had it on. Because guess what? It was a live sporting event, and so they benefit from that, right? So I think everybody gets to benefit, and then, you know, they lose. If they didn't have a product, they lose, and I think they're already going to lose because, like I said, I think there are people that are really, really turned off on how this has played out publicly, and as they should be. They should be turned off because there's a lot of people's lives who have been turned upside down through this pandemic, and they don't want to, you know, hear a public squabbling over money. I mean, they just don't, and I don't blame them. You know, they would like to forget about how, you know, maybe disastrous 2020 has been for them and their family. They would like to have a release. They would like to have something to take their mind off of that. And the last thing they need is, you know, rich people fighting with rich people in a public forum. So or at least people that have more money than them, and especially their situation that they're in. So it's unfortunate, but the damage has been done in my mind. The question is,
well, what,
it, how bad
if and when they get this. Well, that's the thing. If and when they get an agreement, from that moment on, they had better act like they like each other, even though we know that even if they make this agreement, we know they're going to go through this again at the end of the 2021 season. So it's going to be a cloud hanging over them the entire time. So that's where it's going to linger, Darren. I think that's what's going to be the turnoff. So they better do everything PR-wise to connect with the fans. If they're fortunate enough that they can get started late July, at least a week or two before everybody else gets going, they better take advantage of that window like you wouldn't believe. But I don't know if they're capable of it. I don't think they can do it.
We have a little fun when we come back, looking at all 32 teams in the NFL and some of their quarterback play in the Super Bowl era. So since 1966, and just how they ranked them. We'll talk about it. We'll tell you what
stuff.
We're talking about. Yeah, it's on ESPN.com. But we'll discuss it on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, you can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. That's free and easy. You can enable our Alexa skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can always stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. All very good options. Easy options as well. Brought up an article that was on ESPN.com, the best and worst quarterback play of the Super Bowl era, ranking all 32 NFL teams. Of course, this is starting from 1966. Willie, I'll kind of turn it over to you and let you kind of set this up.
Well, this was fun. We can agree or just it's very detailed. Doug Clawson is the person that put this together. He basically took this. He took since the Super Bowl era started. So we're going back to Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi until today. And he has put together the overall rankings for who has gotten the best quarterback play among the 32 teams. But then within that, he's also got the best and the worst quarterbacks in franchise history. So it's kind of fun to look at not only the best is obvious in most cases, but the worst is kind of fun to look at for each team. So he did it by overall performance based on the value metric from a Pro Football Reference, which we all can look at. So look for consistency over the long haul. Also, he noted peak performance. Like, when did you get great quarterback play? That usually makes a big difference. We've said that for so long, right? If you have a great quarterback, it makes such a difference, especially in the salary cap era, which starts around 1993. Also, continuity. What about the musical chairs, right? The Browns would be the shining example of what not to do in terms of the musical chairs. 30 different starting quarterbacks since 1999, so they'll take a hit in that category. So where would you think, I don't know if you've looked at this, Darren, but where do you think the overall ranking is of the Titans franchise, which includes the Oilers, by the way?
I haven't looked.
You haven't looked?
No, it's probably
okay.
Middle pack to the bottom, the lower half of the league, bottom 16.
Okay, so put a number on it. You are right. They are in the bottom 16.
I would say ...22nd.
Marquise, what would you say?
I might go 20. I'll just go 20.
They are 24th in the rankings. So the overall quarterback production, number 20. Pro Bowl caliber seasons, ranked 24th. Continuity, they rank 22nd. And that gives them the overall score of 24th. So when you think about it, I mean, we're going way back, right? We're going, the Oilers had some very lean seasons, remember, in the late 60s through the mid-70s, they were bad, right?
Yep.
They had the brief period of the Love You Blue with Dan Pastorini, mm-hmm. and then they went into another tailspin for a good while before
Warren Moon
came around. They had another uptick.
Yeah.
Right?
Basically,
so we're talking about 50 years of history.
And Steve McNair as their two, you know, top tier, you know, top upper echelon quarterbacks, right?
By far. Those are the most two productive. And Clawson goes with McNair as their best of all time. Even though McNair obviously is not in the Hall of Fame, Warren Moon is. But Warren Moon, of course, did some things outside of his time with the franchise, which contributed to his Hall of Fame credentials, right? So who do you think they had as the worst quarterback in franchise history?
What, the worst quarterback in franchise history?
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking me. Like,
you don't understand the question of who is the worst quarterback in the Oilers/Titans franchise history?
Oh,
who might
I'm
that
sorry.
Be?
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking about the whole league. Who was number one overall, the worst?
No.
Okay.
Each franchise he names a best and worst.
Okay.
Just for fun.
Well, I haven't. Is it?
And this is all subjective, right? This is all his take based on looking at all the numbers
Oilers?
Of all the quarterbacks.
Is this Oilers or is this post Oilers? Because I have a
you
name.
You tell me.
Well, I think it's
give
post.
Me your name.
I think it's post.
Well, you know, we're much more familiar with the Titans part of the history than the Oilers, right? I'm old enough to remember the Oilers from the Love You Blue up until they left. What happened before that, I don't know if there was a guy that was so bad in the early
True.
70s that would be in there.
Jake Locker may be on there. He may be a part of that.
Okay, he gets mentioned. He said there is a case for former first-round pick Jake Locker.
Yep.
But it's hard to ignore blank.
Well,
it is a Titan.
Oh, it is a Titan. Worse.
It
than
is a Titan.
What? Worse than Jake? Of, it's not. No, Vince Young. He wouldn't have Vince.
Let
Young.
Let me just say, no,
Jake
it's not
Locker.
Vince Young.
No way.
It is definitely not. No,
no
it
way.
Is not. It is. It is a guy.
It can't
that
be Mariota.
Small sample size.
Small sample. I thought it had to be a franchise quarterback.
No.
Oh, you're just talking. I was thinking somebody that was given the starter, somebody that they draft to be the franchise quarterback, or somebody that was their regular starter that was awful. You're talking about could be anybody. Well, I mean, no offense, because we really like our conversation with him, but I mean, Rusty Smith wasn't very good.
No.
Then I don't know.
Nope.
You've got me. I don't know.
It's a guy that you – come on. Who do you love to make fun of more than anybody? I'll just give you the hint. He's 0-10 in his career.
0-10?
He went 0-10.
Why am I – I have no idea.
He played at LSU.
This is fairly new.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Wow, I didn't realize he was 0-10. Did he really? He was 0-10?
He was 0-10.
The Met Show?
The Met Show. Zach Mettenberger, congratulations. You've been named the worst quarterback in franchise history.
Okay.
Here's a note on Ryan Tannehill. Only the second player in the Super Bowl era to complete 70% of his passes and average 9 yards per attempt in a season, along with Joe Montana in 1989.
Hmm.
That's interesting. 70% completion percentage, 9 yards per pass attempt.
Hmm.
Joe Montana, the only other guy that's ever done that. Wow.
It's hard for me to say Mettenberger, because what they fifth round pick, right? Isn't that where they
whatever
drafted?
It was, yeah.
Match, it
fifth,
was, you
sixth,
know, it's
I don't
not
know.
Like, yeah, it was fifth, sixth round pick. To me,
it has nothing to do with the expectations or anything like that. It's just who did they have as the worst?
He was drafted in the sixth round.
Okay, sixth round. So who was the guy they drafted who never even played here and he ended up going to the Jets and starting for them last year, and he was absolutely awful? I mean, here's a guy that they drafted, and he never even made it out of camp. Who was it?
Well,
Luke?
Well, I guess.
What was it? Luke? What was
Luke Falk.
Name?
Yeah.
Luke Falk.
I guess you had to play enough games to where you,
that's
you
what I'm getting. Like,
showed
what's
up
your
on
criteria?
The radar.
Like, he was drafted the same as that. He didn't even make it out of camp. That that to me qualifies even worse.
All right, so who do you think has the best overall quarterback play of all time, according to these rankings?
You mean what franchise has had more successful quarterbacks, or
yes,
who do you think they've ranked as the highest quarterback?
The overall ranking as a franchise.
Oh,
who has had
franchise.
The best quarterback play as a whole for, in the Super Bowl era, as a team?
I would say the qualifiers would be Packers, 49ers. Ooh, do the Steelers qualify? Packers, 49ers. They're definitely on that list.
Colts? Got to be pretty high up there, right?
Colts could be on there. Yes. But how much does the Patriots, do they count? I guess Patriots, because Tom Brady's going to be ranked so high, and they did go to, it's not like they never went to a Super Bowl until Tom Brady got there, so I would say the Patriots. That's what would be the teams, and I'm not sure about the Steelers. That's who I would think that's where they would be going.
You know, my
close,
first thought, you're right all around it. You're all of those teams you mentioned, for the most part, are in the mix. The Steelers rank lower than I would have thought. They're ranked 11th.
Hmm.
And that's the lowest of the teams that you put out there.
It's a lot of Super Bowls to be ranked that low.
Yeah. So it kind of discredits a little bit of Terry Bradshaw's four Super Bowls, right?
Okay.
Because if you look back, Bradshaw's statistics aren't all that impressive. But, of course, it was a different time back then, right? The rules were different. The game was different.
Yep.
You just didn't see guys completing 65 or 70% of their passes back then. Now, if you're not completing well over 60%, everybody's like, well, you have no accuracy. Back then, if you had 50%, you were considered pretty accurate, I think. So they actually went with Roethlisberger as the best quarterback in Steelers history.
Wow.
So pretty interesting.
Huh.
They had number one. They
Look,
have,
by the way, Dolphins be on that list as well? Of those
the Dolphins,
teams?
The Miami Dolphins are 19th.
Oh, no, I guess not.
19th.
Okay.
They've had some bad ones.
They have.
They've had some bad ones.
But they've had a couple really good ones, too. I know Dan Marino gets knocked because he didn't win Super Bowls, but
right. But they ranked 21st in the Super Bowl era of Pro Bowl caliber seasons.
Okay,
even with Marino, it was, you know, Marino and Greasy have probably 90%.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Of them,
Marino
right?
and Greasy, that counts for should count for a lot, shouldn't it?
It does, but there's a big drop off after
fair.
That.
They've had a lot of their fair share of bad ones as well. Okay.
So the number one team, do you want to know?
The number one team, I'm going to go 49ers, number one.
I would have said that hands down, 49ers. But they have the 49ers fifth.
How
on
with
the list.
Young and Montana could you be fifth?
Well,
I mean, come on.
Well, I'll tell you the teams in front of them and we can decide.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to take a break and come back and ponder
going.
Who these are. Okay, number five, the 49ers. By the way, their worst quarterback of all time, the 49ers. Anyone have a guess off the top of their head?
Worst.
49ers. And I will give you a hint. It's the successor to Steve Young, the one that they thought would succeed Steve Young.
Oh, Druckenmiller?
Yes.
Jim
Druckenmiller.
Druckenmiller. Did I say drunk? Did I say drunk?
I think you did.
I think I said Druckenmiller. At times, maybe you look like a Druckenmiller. Yeah. Yeah, that one didn't work out.
But Montana and Young definitely carry them. They're up there, but they have them number five overall. The continuity since then has been a little bit down. They rank a little lower in that category. I'm just looking at the overall rankings. They're 13th in continuity.
Okay.
Number four, Marquise got.
Colts.
He mentioned. It's the Colts.
Okay.
With Peyton Manning and, of course, Andrew Luck, they rank third in overall production, second in Pro Bowl caliber seasons, ninth in continuity.
Jim
just because
Harbaugh
Peyton Manning was there for
either,
so
by
long.
The way.
Oh, yeah. Burt Jones, Earl Morrill, even the very end of Johnny Unitas, of course. So they've got some guys. Their worst quarterback, by the way, he is infamous for reasons off the field. The fourth overall pick in 1982 from Ohio State. Art Schliester. He had some problems.
Yeah.
He had some problems.
Okay.
Number three.
Packers.
So now we're down to the top three. The Packers are number two.
Okay.
The Packers are number two. You have Bart Starr, Brett Favre, and Rodgers. That's hard to beat, those three. They are third in Pro Bowl caliber seasons, fifth in overall production, third in continuity, and so second overall. So you need number one and number three. And you've mentioned both
Patriots,
of these teams, I
Patriots
think.
Have got to be in there.
All right, are you calling them for number one or number three?
They're just going to rank. Tom Brady's going to get so much. I'm going to go three, just above the
Patriots
Colts.
Three?
Yeah.
The Patriots are one.
Patriots are one. Okay.
Number one.
Wow.
Sixth in overall production, third in Pro Bowl caliber seasons, one in continuity.
Okay,
so Tom Brady, of course, carries the load, but I would have thought, at least, you know, just me thinking out loud, that the stretch of Montana and Young, or the stretch of Rodgers and Favre, would outgun Brady.
I would agree.
Right?
Even
because the guys, the Bradys had good, they had good players, they had good quarterbacks at times, Drew Bledsoe, Steve Grogan, Tony Eason, but. They have Patriots number one.
Wow.
That surprised me a little bit.
I probably disagree with that. I would have had 49ers one.
They had the worst quarterback in Patriots history, the number one overall pick in 1971, Jim Plunkett, who really struggled before he found his groove later in his career with the Raiders.
Later in his career, yeah. Okay. So who was three?
So you're missing number three.
We're missing three.
You should get this.
And you said, I've already mentioned them?
I think you guys have tossed this out there. And I would have had this team above the Patriots myself. It just depends on how much you want to give Brady and have him just shoulder everything. Because this franchise has had a lot of success. They're a little bit removed from the success, but they've had overall some very good quarterback play.
The Cowboys.
Yes.
You haven't even mentioned them.
You never mentioned that? Okay, they're number three. So between Staubach, Aikman, and Tony Romo, that's three. That's a lot of continuity. Even Danny White was there for a long time. The Cowboys have the most Pro Bowl caliber quarterback seasons. Staubach with eight, Romo four, Dak Prescott with four already. Aikman only had three. That's odd. Danny White three, Don Meredith two. So I don't know why that doesn't put them in front of the I guess some of the low times were so bad where they had the Steve Poulours, the Quincy Carters, Ryan Leaf was in there at one point. In fact, they have Quincy Carter as the worst of the Georgia quarterbacks, of the Cowboys quarterbacks. Sorry,
we
Quincy.
Can tell you. We saw that version of the Cowboys Christmas night in Nashville. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
Dallas
I guess
got
the
shut
lows
out.
Have been low. The lows have been really low, so the continuity went down as a result.
Wasn't
it's
he the
a,
quarterback?
A, you know, it's a subjective.
Titans shut him out.
I think
for Christmas
so.
Night?
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's pretty obvious who's like the last team on this list. The very
okay,
last
who,
team.
Who's
on this
last?
List.
Who's the, should we break and then come
on.
Back and ask who is last?
Who's the? It's pretty obvious who's last. It's not the Browns.
Yes, that's what it is. It's the
okay. Yeah, I was gonna say it's got to be the Browns. Yeah, I would think so. Well, let's figure it out. Who
are you sure?
I don't know. We'll come back. Let's do that. We will talk about
think
that.
Think about
on.
It.
Okay. Who are the ones at the bottom? Let's get the bottom five.
All right, the bottom five. We've done the top five. We'll do the bottom five when we come back.
Interesting. I think we're all in agreements that Patriots, look, I get it, two-decade run. You know, I don't need to tell everybody about their resume. But number one, I just can't – I couldn't do that. I could not have them one. In fact, I'd probably have them more five on that list. That's just me. All right, we will come back and close out Monday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. All right, we had a little fun last segment. Article on ESPN.com. Willie, I'll let you set up what we've been talking about because now we're going to go to the cellar. We're going to talk about the bottom five.
This would have been a great summer topic in any summer. It's a very comprehensive look, and it's coming in handy now because we're still in that waiting game of when are the games? Are there going to be games? How soon can we get to the games? But Doug Clawson from ESPN, it's actually on ESPN Plus if you want to take a look at it. He has ranked the quarterback play of all the franchises since the Super Bowl era started. So we're talking about 1966, 67, somewhere in there. So 50-plus years of quarterback play. And the number, as we talked about in the last segment, he has the Patriots number one, which we kind of disagree with his criteria. The Packers two, the Cowboys three, the Colts four, and the 49ers five. I think we all would have had the 49ers a little bit higher and the Patriots a little bit lower. But now let's get to the bottom five. By the way, the Titans are 24th. Which includes the history of the Oilers as well. But when you think about it, that makes a lot of sense. It's not like they've had a huge number of great quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era. So now let's get to the bottom five. So I'm gonna ask you guys to name your five, and then I will tell you what Clawson has here, and then we will discuss. All right, so Marquise, let's start with you. You said right away the Browns have got to be the worst.
Yes.
But give me your five. Okay, so you say the Browns are the worst. What are your other four in the bottom five?
All right, so I'll go Browns, Lions. I'm just trying to think of teams with bad seasons. Bills. Oh, this is tough. Cardinals and the Texans.
Okay. Darren, give me your five.
So I've got three that I feel very good about.
Okay.
Browns, Lions, Jets. I feel pretty good about that.
I thought about the Jets, too.
Here's a wild card team, because you think, wow, they've had success. But it really hasn't been because of their quarterback play. And I'm going to throw a wrinkle in there and say it wasn't because of their quarterback, so they're not going to really get credit. How about the Bears? When I think Bears, I don't think about great quarterback play.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw them on the list. That is four. And the other one, so I'm a little, because the Jags, they haven't been around that long. Brunell was good out of the gates. I don't know. Like, the Texans, I don't believe. Like, Texans, Jags, they haven't been around long enough. And because of Brunell and Watson in a short history, they're going to get pushed out of that bottom five. The Bengals are interesting because Carson Palmer, they didn't have a ton of success. He was the number one overall pick. Ken Anderson, they did. Boomer Esiason. So it's not the Bengals. Even though we love to poke fun at them and make fun of the Bengals, I don't believe it's the Bengals.
They had the Bengals number eight. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They've had good quarterback play.
So I'm still surprised that they're in the top ten.
Yeah, okay, I wouldn't have said eight, but I clearly knew they were not in the bottom five. Marquise brought up the Bills. I mean, the Jim Kelly era will keep them out of that. I don't feel good about them. The Broncos have certainly had the Chiefs. They've had their quarterbacks. The Raiders.
Yeah, see, that one, I was on the bubble on that one.
They're down there. There's no doubt they're down there. But, gosh, there's a team I want to say that we bang on a lot. It's kind of like the Bengals, but they haven't even had the quarterback play of the Bengals. like the Redskins are interested, but you've got Theismann, and so that's probably going to push them out of. But you think about it, they've had a lot of bad quarterbacks. The Redskins.
They've had a lot of good quarterbacks.
But they've had a lot of good quarterbacks. But they've had a lot of bad ones, too. So I really struggled with the fifth. Arizona Cardinals had, you know, Warner take them to the Super Bowl. But they haven't had a whole lot in between. I'm really struggling with the fifth. I'm going to be totally honest.
We need a fifth. We need a guess.
I know.
And then we will reveal.
What's interesting is the Ravens.
And
never
we do need to repeat. This is the formula that this guy put together. We could probably make our own formula, and the rankings would change quite a bit, depending on what you emphasize. But you're leaving out one that I think
Saints
would
had
be
a lot of bad quarterbacks. But you know how much does Drew Brees?
It help is
that?
Definitely not the Saints. The Saints are way higher than that, just because of Brees alone. Puts them in a separate category. These other franchise, the bottom five have not had a quarterback like Brees.
I'm going to go, I don't feel good about, like I said, I'm struggling with the fifth. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. So
you're
going to go
with the Cards. All
I
right.
feel Browns, Lions, Jets, very confident. Bears is okay. Kind of my wild card team, like, huh, okay, but I'm going to go with it. And then the Cardinals, I don't want to say I feel great about it, but I struggled. Everybody, there's a lot of teams that fit into this category, so I'm going to go Cardinals.
All right, you guys both narrowly missed on the Lions. Both of you guys guessed the Lions. The Lions are not in the bottom five, but they're close. They're 25th.
You've got to
they're
be
below.
Kidding me.
They're below the Titans.
They had an 0-16
season. They're not in the bottom
five.
They've
never even been to the Super Bowl. How could the Lions? All they do is have losing seasons.
It's interesting. I don't know.
Who is the Lions' worst quarterback?
Their continuity, I think, is what gives them a little bit of better ranking.
You had a small window of
Matthew
Scott
Stafford
Mitchell,
has been there for
Stafford.
So long.
But he hasn't done anything, really. I mean, you had the Scott Mitchell, a small window there. Who else? You got Eric Hippel? Like, why? Who
Eric
else?
Hippel, Eric Kramer, Gary Danielson.
Yeah, those were just like middle-of-the-road quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. It's a little bit of a weak argument. But not okay. Darren, you guessed the Jets. They are also just above the top, the bottom five.
Wow.
And Marquise went with the Bills, who are also just above the bottom five. The Jets are 26th overall. The Bills are 27th, basically because of two guys. Because Joe Namath and Jim Kelly elevate them just out of the bottom five is the simplest way that I think. Marquise has the Texans. They're a little bit higher. They are 21st. By this, Deshaun Watson. Remember, it's a shorter history.
Right.
Right, so the lows, there's just not as many guys, I guess. They have their worst guy is David Carr, which is weird to me because they had some scrubs that came in on years where their starter got hurt.
Wait, Carr
bad.
Over Hoyer, though?
Over, like, TJ
yeah,
Bates?
Yeah,
TJ Hilliard.
David Carr was thrown to the wolves. You know, he had a lot going against him, and so that's a little unfair, I think. So that's an interesting one. So you guys clicked on the Cardinals and the Browns. They're both in the bottom five, but they are not last. And Darren, I'm here to tell you that you got the team that is in last, but it's not who you think it is. It's not the Browns. The Browns are 30th, I guess because
really?
Of Bernie Kosar and Brian Sipe. They elevate just out of the cellar, right? Their continuity is the worst, right? But
wait a minute, Paul
just
McDonald's
enough Pro Bowl caliber seasons.
Wasn't on that good quarterback list for them? No?
Colt McCoy? No Colt McCoy?
Well, it was a great competition for worst quarterback in Browns history.
I
they
bet.
Went with Tim Couch, but of course you have Johnny Manziel and Brady Quinn, Brandon Whedon, Deshaun Kizer.
Oof.
Mark Bolger, you have a lot of guys in there.
Okay.
I know Mark Bolger was the only other quarterback to have as many interceptions as touchdown passes in three straight seasons. That's Tim Couch's thing. He and Mark Bolger are the only two guys that did that. All right. So, Darren, you got the last place team, the Bears.
Oh, okay.
Worst by these metrics. Last in overall production. Last in Pro Bowl caliber seasons. 31st in continuity and 32nd overall. So that's basically, other than Jim McMahon, who was injured so often, right, even during his best years, he still missed a ton of time. And you don't go before the Super Bowl era.
Give me
name
the
other good
quarterbacks.
Exactly. They just don't have any.
I mean, Rex Grossman isn't the best?
He took him to the Super Bowl, but, I mean, you know, he was kind of like that Trent, you know, I hate to say this, who we love having on the show, but, you know, he gets that quarterback tag of, you know, Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, those guys where you go, that team made it to the Super Bowl in spite of their quarterback. He's in that category, right? Rex Grossman.
Right. You both got the Cardinals, which was, you both thought of that one. I think they're pretty obvious. They're one notch ahead of the Browns at 29th. Other than Kurt Warner, and this goes back to their St. Louis days, so this is a pretty long list of guys. But Kurt Warner, one or two good seasons from Carson Palmer, and that's about it.
Yep.
You know, there's not a whole lot going there. You know, you had your Boomer Esiason, Dave Craig, you know, some guys coming in here and there for a year or so, but nothing, no continuity at all.
Yeah, Matt
the
Leinart.
The continuity came from Jim Hart in the days of the St. Louis Cardinals,
sure.
Was there for a long time, but he wasn't great. They didn't have a whole lot of great teams there, a whole lot of good teams, to be honest with you. But there's one team you guys both left off the list that's pretty obvious. When in doubt, you go with this team. For futility, along with the Browns?
Jags?
The Bucks.
Oh.
The Bucks, Buccaneers.
Yeah. That's actually, you're right. Boy, you're right. That's a good one. Surprised we didn't have them on the list.
That one, I was surprised neither one of you had that.
Yeah.
One. But it's good. If you want to exercise your brain a little bit, have a little fun debate, check it out on ESPN Plus. Doug Clawson, it's got all the rankings on there. Best quarterback play of the Super Bowl era. Best
and
worst.
Well done. All right. That's a good way to end today's show. You have a great rest of your Monday. Stay safe. We want you back with us Tuesday morning starting at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Chase and the GM. That's next.